What's happening, guys? Non-Dell Influencers Podcast, as always, Nate Clear with First Funding. Here to kick things off, I've got Nick Krakowski, National Senior Account Executive. And today we have the infamous Jillian Sorensen from Flagstar Bank. Jillian, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, hey, guys, for those of you that are tuning into this podcast, really, we want to talk about the importance of account executives from the investor standpoint as it relates to brokers making the transition, retail transitions, or even existing brokers that don't even know anything about correspondent, kind of the importance of those investor account executives as you move into that. And then moreover, kind of the non-Dell influencers ethos, where it got started from, et cetera. So with that being said, Jillian, can you tell us a little bit about your role at Flagstar?
Sure. I've been at Flagstar for 12 and a half, almost 13 years, and I'm an account executive. I think I have a VP title, but really it just means I work really hard as an account executive.
So can you talk through, I mean, I think everybody, most of our listeners, right, they should be somewhat familiar with what an account executive's role is. Can you talk a little bit about what you see as the account executive role and kind of where you differ? Because we've been working together now for a decade plus, and there is certainly a difference between your approach and, I think, you know, kind of an ordinary account executive approach.
Well, I think the hardest thing is I'm the middleman between the customers and Flagstar. So I represent my clients within Flagstar, and then I represent Flagstar to my clients. I'm also responsible, obviously, for developing new business and maintaining existing business. If I were to say what sets me apart is I love diving in and helping mortgage companies grow. I don't just, you know, ask for a loan or got any loans for me. I'm more the one that digs in and says, let's make sure that the way that you're doing business is the most profitable and efficient for their business model. But also, how do we help them level up to the next level, whether that's, you know, being a loan officer to starting their own company, or once they are, you know, a mortgage company, can we help them level up to becoming a non-Dell correspondent, or are they currently, you know, a branch of somebody else and they want to go independent? I love being part of that. I love diving deep and figuring out how we can help them grow.
And I think that's kind of what I'm kind of fishing for here, is that I think, you know, we work with investors across the spectrum, right? We work with people that are just focused in government lending, guys that are conventional conforming, jumbo, non-QM, whatever the case may be. And in that, right, we get a lot of different account executives. And I think, you know, to your point, yeah, the account executive is kind of that middle person that is connecting, you know, whatever wants to aggregate, buy those loans to the street, right, that's actually producing them. And sometimes we find that looks like an order taker. Sometimes it is massaging the right way, but I think that, you know, you take it to that next level, which is, I don't care what my rates are doing today. These are the products that I have, right? These are the things that I have to sell, and let's identify what's in your business where I can help you exceed. And let's leave the P word out of the conversation, because
it doesn't matter at the end of the day, right?
I mean, it goes up and down, right? Some days I'm going to be awesome, some days I'm not, but I'm here as kind of a consultant, if you will.
I absolutely agree with that. I think that diving deeper into their business model and helping everybody figure out how to maximize their time, efforts, energy, and revenue is part of the fun. But don't get me wrong, I still dive deep into loan level issues on a very regular basis. And my favorite part of my job is helping make loans work.
Right.
So everything in between, all the way to, I want to start my own company. Can you help me? We meet for lunch. And yeah, so everything in between is what I'm passionate about.
Yeah. So to that end, I want to get a little bit more specific and a little more selfish and kind of brag upon what we've done over the years. And that's broker to banker conversion. So Your story is a little bit different than mine, right? I moved into warehouse lending. You know, really, that was my first foray into this industry in general. So I kind of got thrown into it, much like yep. Nick. I got to understand, you know, what broker is, what correspondent is, so that I can help bridge the gap in between the two so that I can make a living. Yours was a little bit different, being that you were in wholesale. So can you talk a little bit about kind of why it made sense for you to kind of expand your knowledge and look at those kinds of conversions as part of your account executive role?
Sure. Well, I was a mortgage broker. I had ownership in a small mortgage brokerage in Sacramento, California. And through learning about the industry, I discovered non-Dell correspondent, actually. I had a small warehouse line with Flagstar Bank many moons ago. And in as a business owner, as I was trying to find new ways to expand revenue opportunities on the same amount of business, and bringing things in-house versus outsourcing, I fell in love with the concept of I am the lender. And when I sold my business and went and worked for a larger correspondent lender and learned how to maximize profitability, managing warehouse lines and, you know, hedging the pipeline. And I mean, all of those functions led me to becoming a salesperson ultimately. And my first wholesale account executive position was straight wholesale. And I found myself stuck, completely stuck. Because I didn't feel like I could help my customers grow. And one of the best parts of Flagstar is we do business with small brokers all the way to the largest of bulk customers. Mm-hmm. And so being a part of that, we can help a small broker, and I have, level up to non-Dell and then level up to Dell, and then they're on to bulk. And then by then it's just a pricing transaction. And I see a little bit of business from them every now and then, but I still get to look at them in those big fat bulk bids that come over, and I'm like, I gotta give myself a little bit of a pat. In fact, first funding has been a large part of my success of helping those accounts move up. Certainly.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. And I think that's what's been so much fun is that you get to see them in their infancy, right? And so you see them essentially, they're kind of in the carrier, you know, trailer behind the bike, right? And then all of a sudden they're like, man, I want to be the one in the bike. But you're like, okay, we can do that, but we're gonna put these kind of training wheels on you, and let's look at, you know, your real next step to hit your growth objectives would be in this channel. And that's where we get to work together.
Yes.
And I think that's where we can help from the warehouse lending aspect is, okay, cool, what are all the things that you want from a warehouse line, especially getting started? Well, you want somebody that's going to double check your wire orders. You're going to want, you know, somebody that's worked with multiple fulfillment partners, you know, throughout the industry. You're going to want somebody that has reportings for reconciliations and 1098s and all the stuff that you don't necessarily want to self-build or take away from what you're truly passionate about, which is going out and getting the next deal. And I think that's what's really made it such a great symbiotic relationship is that we can give them the tools so that we can help coach them from a warehouse lending standpoint, and you can continue to provide, you know, solution and value to them, you know, making that next move.
Yes,
I agree. So one of the things kind of to that end, right, we've been doing that for a number of years. And really in the last, 12, 18 months, it was like, we're hearing more and more of, you know, the story of retail, margin compression, interest rates are going up, my comp's getting cut. What can I go do? Is there a way I can go out on our own, right? And I think that's one of the items that we started talking about, right? And so, you know, collaboratively, we started putting together resources in order to solve that. So can you talk a little bit about what you've built over the last year or so?
Actually, I think it's more like 2 or 3 years now. I've been working on it. So because I seem to have been building a reputation for an AE who can help people level up, I kind of consolidated all of the resources that I'd either built, written, over the years, and with the help of a few other AEs, we kind of put together a guide, if you will. I call it non-Dell in a box. Mm-hmm. And it's a basic, why do you want to be a non-Dell correspondent? And then it includes risk. It includes rewards. It includes the how-tos and the whys. And probably some of the most important features in that little book, I think it's like up to like 21 pages or something now, is delving into the why. Like, why do you need to get set up with UCDP? Why do you need to get set up with a universal loan identifier? And where do you go to get it? A lot of times brokers or originators who decide they do need to go out on their own for revenue purposes, it just makes sense to have everything in one place, the how to, the whys, the gee, what is this for and why am I even doing it? And the best part is my last launch was probably, I would say, Nate, yours and my most successful launch, actually, yeah. Nick as well. We were all involved in it. And it was great because that little guidebook, systematically, they were able to go through the checklist, go through each of the items, understand what they were applying for, understand the application for those various services, vendors, IDs. And so it took about, I would say, 3.5 to 4 weeks of all hands on deck, everybody diving in. And what he did, was able to do, is he was able to fund 6 loans in his first month that he didn't have to share his margin.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed with the efficiency that we all worked together and the speed of which we were able to take this solid producing loan officer and turn him into a business owner as a non-delegated correspondent in a relatively short amount of time with we didn't have anything outstanding. There were no trailing, you know, approvals that we needed to get in order to be able to sell loans. It just worked like clockwork. So just pat myself on the back because that resource that we've been able to create is truly becoming a, this is your how to become a non-delegated correspondent. And quite frankly, why you want to.
Well, and the overall confidence he has too now, I think, you know, even moving out of wholesale, moving into truly being his own independent.
Yeah.
I was just so much fun talking to him. It was last week or the week before. And he's just like, there's these new opportunities that are kind of knocking on my door that I never even would have considered had I not, you know, become a lender. Because now it's like, hey, listen, we can actually, that input, I can help you with it. I can be the lender on these transactions for you. And we can create this conduit where we can capture that, you know, that lead gen, et cetera. So I agree. I mean, that's literally the high point of this job, is that, you know, it's one thing, right? Where warehouse lending sometimes looks like, you know, commoditized piece, right? It's like, oh, I just need money, function to money, right? That's it. But it's that intangible piece, right? It's the handholding to help people, you know, get there.
So every day you talk to somebody new, it's like, well, you know, I 5 years ago, I never thought I could do this. I was just an LO and, you know, starting my own brokerage, that was just beyond my wildest dreams. Brokers are I'm not smart enough to do this. I can't do this. It's going to be too difficult. You know, now, you know, I'm over here, we're transitioning to non-Dell. It's just like, you know, 3 years ago, I was like, this is an impossible feat. I'll never be able to do it. But you know, when you start having those conversations and they start having the information provided, you know, by professionals like yourself, and it's just, they're like, oh, okay, it's actually a lot easier than it looks. There's, you know, there's still some steps I got to take, but it's doable, right? And there's people that can help me and kind of guide me through the process to do it the right way.
Yeah. Yes. So for our guys that are listening to this podcast right now, certainly reach out to Jillian Sorensen. She's not hiding. So you can probably do Jillian Sorensen, Flagstar Bank, and you'll find all of her social handles, et cetera. But there's also a Jillian's Corner in the Non-Dell Influencers website. So if you go to www.nondellinfluencers.com, you will and sign up, right, for the Library of Goodies. Jillian has her whole corner. And so those resources that we're talking about, that pathway to, you know, successfully either making the transition, or even if you want to go from square onesie, retail, hey, I've never done anything independent before. It is literally a step-by-step proven process on how you can do that. So Jillian, let's dive into that corner a little bit, and let's dive a little bit deeper into, you know, what are some of the things that, that they're going to find in there?
It's been a minute, and a few phone calls ago. So let me just, they're going to find my non-Dell in a box.
Yep.
And they're going to find a basic checklist for broker to non-Dell.
Yep.
Soon I will add one in there that is loan officer to non-Dell.
Oh, wow.
And there's business owner resources. There's some interviews in there with me and another account executive where we really dove a little bit deeper into some of the functionality of a non-Dell correspondent, the differences, the risks. And I do believe there's some reminders, the most important reminders for like quality control that sometimes I feel like I have to say a lot to my existing customers. So I think there's a few of those videos in there. I think we tried to pack it full of as many resources as we either created, recorded, or know that our customers, you know, questions that potential customers are asking. So we tried to fit all those answers into that one corner.
Yeah. Well, and I want to thank you too, Jillian, right? I think that, you know, certainly, you know, our passion for having a podcast like this or a website like, you know, non-Dell influencers is exactly for, you know, individuals like us in the industry that, hey, we see this as something that inevitably benefits the consumer and levels up independent originators. It levels up brokers from, you know, let's call it what it is, a bad rap, you know, from 2008, 2009. If they're able to take control of their business, if they're able to brand themselves, and we can provide the resources for them to not only get to that point, but also do it the right way, it's going to be better for the industry overall.
Absolutely. And the best part of the channel that you and I are so passionate about is whether it's a loan officer who's referral based, works with realtors, is out making sales calls and going to open houses, it works for them. It gives them control. It helps them deliver a better experience to their consumers. And then the other side of that is you've got your digital online, you know, guys that are just doing low margin, but high volume and everything in between, regardless of that business model. But I would say the best thing that you and I do is we create business owners.
Yeah, we do. And it's not always the easiest, right? I mean, sometimes we talk to guys and they're, you know, their number one thing is, I got to figure out how to make more money in this industry. And you're like, hey, you know what? That is one of the things that you can do when making that transition. But then once you get into how they expect to make more money, you're like, no, it doesn't just fall off the tree.
It's supposed to just be free, right?
Yeah.
It should be easy.
Yeah, you're supposed to just pay me extra.
Yeah. For
this.
Yes.
But Jillian, can you talk a little bit to that end? And Nick, certainly chime in, because I know you get that question a lot. What is it from the comp standpoint? I mean, I think you got a lot of people, and certainly we've got listeners on this, and I know we've talked about it kind of in some of the other previous episodes, but let's dive into that if you got two, three minutes to talk about it.
Okay. So in short, mortgage brokers are required to have a written comp plan with the investor. When you're a correspondent, you are the investor. So there is no comp plan for the business owner. And there's two transactions when you're talking about almost all complete loan sales. More often than not, it's 3, 4, and 5 transactions. But the two main transactions would be when between the loan officer and the consumer. That's the first transaction. That is subject to a comp plan. The second transaction is when the lender sells it to the investor. That's the second transaction. There's no comp plan involved in that. But there's also more functionality there. And so there is no comp plan for a correspondent, essentially, between the correspondent and whoever the ultimate investor is. So I would say that's the area of profitability that you're referring to.
Yep.
But the other side of that is that a loan is still worth what a loan is worth. There's no magic button that says if you're a broker all the way to a bulk customer,
right,
that spread is not anywhere near as big as people think it is. Now, there's ways to take that same loan, and by doing it a little differently, the revenue is distributed a little bit differently so that ultimately, yes, a correspondent can make more earnings by doing more of the functionality. But a loan is worth what a loan is worth, regardless of who is closing it. It just depends on which functionality the business owner decides to take on, which determines how much of his pie he gets to eat.
That's it. And we got to pull that video out.
Tell people, I mean, yeah, you can make whatever you want. You make 0 points, you can make 5 points. You can make negative points, right? It's up to you how you want to price this loan. Now, doing it at 5 points, you're probably going to get an EPO and, you know, you're not going to look good out there doing that business. But yeah, I mean, to your extent, I mean, it's really just that control, right? The pricing, the blended pricing, the making it work for that borrower. Of, hey, you know, the credit union down the street came in and they're waiving the origination fee. Great. You know what? If we can just close this deal, how about a lender credit and let's get this thing done, right? I'm going to show you that I'm a lender. I'm in control. Let's do business.
And I think that's in today's market, right? I mean, I read this morning, I think in the 10 points that Wall Street Journal publishes, it's 10-year treasury rates are the highest level they've been since 2008. What does this mean? Doom and gloom, et cetera. With all of that going on, right, I think that the biggest thing that anybody can ask for is for that flexibility. And I would rather be able to make more money as a result of being able to close more business than trying to eke that, you know, that X more out of an individual loan file. Because it ends up benefiting so many more people, right? I mean, you talk about EPOs, right? Which is just a subject of servicing valuation and that being repaid too quickly, et cetera. So it's better for servicers all the way at the highest. It's better for the consumer. It's going to improve the relationships between buyer, seller, realtor, referral network, the investor, and repeat business, right? So I think that, you know, really, Jillian, to your point, you did a fantastic job. Thank you for explaining kind of, you know, front end, back end, primary, secondary transactions, because that's exactly what it is. And if you have control over that secondary transaction, which is what you have in correspondent, then that affords you a lot of that flexibility that you need. On the broker side, right, you only have control over that primary transaction, right? You're arranging the credit between you and, you know, Flagstar if you're in a broker transaction. So,
yes.
Jillian, I know we're kind of running tight on time here. Can you share with our listeners kind of the best way to get in touch with you, kind of area that you cover, that kind of stuff?
For the most part, I cover Greater Houston and parts of Louisiana. And then depending on the customer, I do have some nationwide accounts.
Okay, terrific. And then do you want them to go to Flagstar and find you, or?
Absolutely, or Jillian.Sorensen, S-O-R-E-N-S-E-N at Flagstar.com. Or if you just look me up on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I'm not on TikTok, but I'm trying to be.
Well, what you do, you're going to have to show me, because I thought that was for children, but now I'm like seeing, I think my grandparents are on it now. So,
you know, I just saw something the other day, Zap Mortgage, like 291 on Inc. through TikTok. I mean, he's just the number one veteran owned lender right now.
Oh, really?
He's got it all through TikTok. And I mean, it's crazy to see that it's just blowing up, you know, getting your loans left and right. So.
Yeah,
working.
Wow, it's incredible. Well, Jillian, as always, it's a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. For all of our listeners, be sure to share NondellInfluencersPodcast.com with all your friends and family, et cetera, everybody in the industry. If you have any needs from an investor standpoint or getting started, Jillian's a terrific resource. As always, Nick and myself are happy to support you from a warehouse lending standpoint here at First Funding. We appreciate you guys for listening.